LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Week 10 Waiver Wire. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey B, Joe P. Zapia. That, of course, is Andrew Erickson and Dan Harris, still alive, still fighting his cold, but he is relentless. That is his middle name. It's either that or Aloysius. I am not sure which one it is, but he's here today, too, because we would never let you down on a Monday because you need the waiver wire pod, the players you need to pick up, the players you need to drop, and everything in between. Dan Harris, I'm just glad that you're sounding better. Not that I didn't like your sexy voice on Sunday, because it was incredibly sexy, so much so I saw our YouTube subscriptions go way up because they're like, who is this sultry toned man talking about fantasy football? But it's nice to see you sounding and feeling a little bit better today.
I'm sure I've used this before, but I don't like to throw around the term hero willy-nilly, but I would like to say that my effort today, the last couple of days, truly heroic for me to power through this very mild cold that I'm dealing with. Yes, my voice was unfortunately impacted. I am feeling slightly better today. I'm not that excited about our guests, so it's a little, you know, kind of hurting my mojo, but I'm ready to go in like a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad waiver wire week. So let's do it.
Wow. So the bar's been lowered substantially here. Andrew Erickson, can you please pull us out here of the doldrums? Because Dan is already kind of set the bar really low. He's saying the waiver wire is no good. Maybe that's the case. Maybe it's not. Did you enjoy the wacky Sunday of NFL that we got? Because I think wacky is probably the best way to describe it.
Yeah, I did. The Patriots got the W, and
sure
we're going to talk about Brandon Bolden on this show. I don't know what Dan's talking about. We could look at that three down workhorse role for Brandon Bolden in week 10. Like, I'm excited.
I got to ask you this, Andrew, and I know this is going to upset everybody, so I'm going to ask it especially now. So as a Patriots fan, do you feel right now that they are in a really interesting place where not only potentially a playoff team, but are they also potentially looking at competing for this division, something I think nobody thought they could do?
I mean, I was shocked when I just like looked at the standings at AFC East, because I just assumed that the Bills were just so far out ahead, but then I just kind of remembered that they kept losing games. Like, they lost against the Titans, and they just lost against the Jags, and I looked at the standings like, oh, they're only a half game back between the Bills, and they get to play the Bills twice. So the Patriots will have every opportunity to get a chance at the AFCs. I mean, Miami is done. The Jets are done. Like, those teams are both completely out of it. So I think that the Patriots are in an interesting spot here, and Mac Jones has continued to improve over the season, and they've played the good teams well. They haven't won. They beat up on the bad teams. So it's definitely way more interesting than I thought it was going to be. You know, when I started the season, I didn't think the Patriots would have a chance to, you know, sniff the playoffs, and now halfway through, I mean, the AFC East is, or the AFC in general, is pretty wide open now, especially with seven teams.
It certainly is. I mean, I can't believe that the Titans are 7-2. I can't I still can't fathom that that is their record somehow, that that is the case, but they're starting to play defense. Dan, I know you did the recap show last night. Do you think that after watching Jordan Love now, there should be a contract extension for Aaron Rodgers sometime in the next 10 minutes?
Yeah, I think they probably would, but Rodgers probably wouldn't sign it. My guess is he wants to expand his horizon somewhere else in the NFL. Yeah, Love was bad. And what's funny is I remember on our, you know, I did Start Sit Show and on YouTube and on Instagram, and the number of people who were asking like the questions over who should I start, this guy, or Love. And I was constantly just like, oh, I think it's Love. I'll start Love. And that sounds really bad until you realize that Jordan Love's horrific performance really just totally, you know, trounced, you know, Tyrod Taylor and the other guys who are all in that range. So I don't feel that bad about it, but yeah, it was ugly.
He wasn't the worst of the worst.
He outscored Mahomes. He did better.
That's
right. He had more fantasy points than Mahomes did.
That is another thing, too. I don't know what. I mean, they just keep eking out victories, the Chiefs. And every week we sit here and they somehow have another W. But these are the ugliest wins. Kelce keeps dropping balls. I don't, you know, I know the remade offensive line is something we talked about in the preseason. I understand where we were going into the year, too, of saying, well, you know, they lost Super Bowl. How will this react? They've had injury to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but Williams has played pretty well in his stead. You would think by now things would start to roll for them. I thought this might have been the game. Like, this was the one where, like, all right, you got the kid going out there for the first time. See what he can do out there. There's a good chance he keeps handing you the football and you could take advantage of that. And he only put up 13 points at home against a quarterback making his debut who looked like he was the worst for wear. I don't know, Andrew. I mean, what do you make out of that at this point of the Chiefs? Is there a rebound coming for these guys, or is this time to start selling off Chiefs for what you can get?
I mean, I think Kelce in particular would be someone I would be looking to move because he's always been, oh, you know, you have Kelce at tight end. He gives you such an edge. That's not happening this year. Like, he has not given you that edge. Like, he's still obviously a good tight end. So that's why I think you can still get good value for him because he's still going to be a tight end one. You're going to start him every single week, no matter whose team he's on. But you know, there are other guys that are right there around him that you can get for much cheaper. So you can package Kelce, get another tight end back, get something additional to move him. I think Tyreek Hill is still, you know, one of the top fantasy wide receiver one. But Mahomes now every single week, I kind of move him down the rankings every single week, being like, all right, well, is he a top, like, where is he outside the top five now? Like, it's frustrating. So I think, especially with Mahomes, I think Mahomes is probably worth moving off as well because it's quarterback. Like, you can find replacement at that position. So Mahomes and Kelce, yeah, I think those are guys that I think you can probably still sell pretty high on the name brand.
Stands to reason, the first year where I finally acquiesce to saying, yes, you could spend a first round pick on Travis Kelce. I personally don't like it, but you can't argue it anymore. Of course, it's when he doesn't return first round value. Of course. So I will take all the heat for that.
He's the number one tight end in fantasy, guys. Like, chill out.
But he's not a difference maker tight end necessarily at this stage, Dan. I guess that's the question.
Who else are we starting here at tight end out of curiosity? Now, look, first of all, he had a very fine fantasy performance in this most recent game. Like, I understand you guys are not wrong. He hasn't quite been there, but still, he is the guy at the tight end position. Like, who else do you feel? I mean, Kittle maybe now that he's back and obviously looked fantastic and everything like that, but he's still the top guy. We got plenty of people to trounce here. You know, Travis Kelce is not on the top of my list at this point.
Well, look, I think maybe just we're collectively underwhelmed right now. Perhaps that's where we're at with the Chiefs. And look, when you have these drops, you have these opportunities that's been going on, but it's not like he's running away with it anymore. I mean, Travis Kelce's at 117 half PPR points and Mark Andrews is at 99. That's much closer to the window than we've ever seen Kelce of the rest of the pack, so to speak. So
I will say that Logan Thomas is obviously probably available on your waiver wire list, and he is the greatest player of all time. Well, so if you want to go get him, you go.
Logan Thomas jersey is not one of our giveaways. It is already in Dan's house. But if you want to get involved in one of our fun giveaways, head over to fantasypros.com/contest. And all you got to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's it. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. It is as simple as that. Head over to fantasypros.com/contest and you fill out all the information there and you could win a Chris Godwin autographed jersey. And with the recent news we just got today of AB still being in the walking boot, that sucker's going up in value. Every single week AB doesn't play, Chris Godwin's jersey goes up in value and it's autographed and it can be yours over at fantasypros.com/contest. But you gotta subscribe to the YouTube channel. And when you do, make sure you click that little notifications bell. And as we start our waiver wire pod, as we always do, I want to remind everybody, it is powered by not only Dan Harris's sarcasm, but also the waiver wire assistant over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. You can only get it over at My Playbook. The waiver wire assistant is going to display all the ad drop scenarios for you. It'll improve your roster, show you the available players that will make your team better than it was a week ago, and show you just by how much too, which I know Andrew Erickson loves math. He's a big fan. Again, math, all the grades of PFF, that's all Andrew Erickson. He does all of it. There's no computers. It's just Andrew's brain. But the great thing about the waiver wire assistant too is it'll also show you not only the moves that help you, but the moves that might also help your opponents. So you can kind of do a little gamesmanship there and maybe block them from adding some players, especially if you are playing them that week. But once again, you can only get that bad boy over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. So go get it today. Gentlemen, let's start with the running back position. I'm not a glorious one. Last week, all we could talk about was Titans running backs. And after watching last night, boy, oh boy, does that feel like a gross committee that I just don't want any part of. So let's move on here and talk about some other running backs, maybe not on the Titans, maybe one on the Titans. I don't know. Let's start with you, Dan Harris. Who is your number one waiver wire running back ad for week 10 in the NFL?
So I will preface this by saying that I have been on either podcasts or stages for legit the last 3 hours. So this is me coming up from air. And Andrew made the joke about Brandon Bolden. I assume that we have not yet heard anything on either Damian Harris or Ramondre Stevenson in terms of their head injuries or anything going forward, right? We don't know that either one of them is out coming next week. Andrew, can you confirm that for me?
Yeah, we don't have any updates, just that they both have head injuries.
Very good. Who among us does not have a head injury? I am going to go then with, as my number one, Ramondre Stevenson. And the fact that Ramondre Stevenson is my number one pickup really shows you just how weak this running back class is in waiver wire. And here's the bottom line. Obviously, we have the potential for Damian Harris to be injured, of course, which would mean a much larger role here for Ramondre Stevenson. But he has sort of gone from the, oh man, you are a healthy scratch running back suddenly, to somebody who is factoring in. I don't know in what universe we live in where he's sort of catching passes and being that sort of guy, but yeah, he looks pretty good doing it when he gets the targets. And again, 10 for 62 yesterday. He's gotten more work in recent weeks. He's a guy, I think, when you combine with the Harris injury, and especially, look, a guy like Harris, Joe, I listed him as a sell-high candidate in our featured pros, and people yelled at me a little bit, and I get it. I like Damian Harris a lot, but 15 for 30 yesterday, like when he faces a tough run defense, and they have a tough run defense coming up in Cleveland, he's not a guy who I really want to go after when he doesn't factor into the passing role. I think Stevenson can factor in here bigger down the stretch. So he's a guy who I will go after. And again, this is not an exciting person that I mean, this is like 5% of your fab.
Right.
Budget at this point, but that's who everybody is this week. So for a running back, Ramondre Stevenson is my number one right now.
Yeah, the good news is if you don't have a lot of money left, this is the week for you, because you might be able to pull off some players here. And yeah, it is surprising to see Ramondre Stevenson, who's more of the LeGarrette Blount-esque sort of, you know, more physical back, the guy you would think to be more like grinding kind of running back, to be catching the ball is surprising. And, you know, I think the game plan was pretty clear yesterday that they wanted to run the football against Carolina because that secondary is very good. I mean, you added Gilmore along with Chin. I mean, that is a really good group out there. And they were very smart. They just kind of grounded it a little bit and just kind of, you know, were patient, played defense, and the game came to them. Stevenson, I think, also has long-term upside. And that's something that if you are the Harris owner, maybe you pay a little bit more for. Would you go up to maybe $10 in that sense? Maybe if you have, you know, or if you're going to bid $5, would you go up to $10? Would you double it a little bit if you already had Harris? Because if something did happen to Harris and you missed a couple of weeks, that Stevenson or Bolden or somebody else might be in line for a little bit more extra work.
Yeah, I think we can be honest at this point and say that fab bids and fab percentages are entirely team and league dependent. I mean, you may not have spent any of your fab right now, and the, you know, the person who is next highest has, you know, $8 left in fab. You can bid $9 then on Ramondre Stevenson. Like, it's completely fine to do. So yeah, I'd be fine with that. And again, I mean, I sort of glossed over it, but we remain the possibility. We don't know what these injuries are necessarily. It didn't seem like either one was, you know, the Zach Moss-esque concussion necessarily, but it's possible that Harris missed next week, right? If he misses next week, then you have a starting running back, which is what pushes Stevenson right now up to the top of the list. So yeah, you want to go 10. I'm not going to kill you for doing it, but this is not something where I think you're probably going to need an injury to Harris to have this really pop as somebody who you can start each and every week, but he is the top guy for running back for me.
All right, well, who's your top guy, Andrew, at running back for week 10?
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, I agree with all the points that Dan made about Ramondre Stevenson, but I guess I'm looking at it from a more pessimistic view where we don't see them. We see both those guys miss potentially. You know, they're dealing with head injuries. They're going to be limited during the week. And we've seen Ramondre Stevenson also be inactive in games just randomly because of the game plan. You know, whether they're, okay, we're going to run the ball. We're going to have Stevenson active. Oh, wait, no, not this week. We're going to use J.J. Taylor a little bit more. We're going to throw the ball. It's a J.J. Taylor week instead of Stevenson. So if Brandon Bolden is going to be getting in all the practice reps with the ones this week, we also know he's involved in the passing game. So you have the Browns defense coming in, this elite pass rush. And the Patriots offensive line has been hit or miss this year, depending on who they've been playing. I mean, Mac Jones got knocked around a lot by Brian Burns yesterday in their matchup against the Panthers. So yeah, they're going to give up pressure to Mac Jones. So I think what's his outlet going to be? It's going to be to jump off the ball to the running backs. I mean, if you look at the receiver, they didn't even throw the ball to the receivers yesterday. Like Nelson Agholor, zero. Jacoby Myers had one catch. It was all the running backs through the passing game. And that's what Bolden's role has been since James White went down. So with question marks about Damian Harris and Ramondre, we're not going to know about that when you have to submit your waiver bid. So I think that's why Bolden is going to be just screaming value, because come Saturday, it's going to be like Adam Schefter is going to tweet out, oh yeah, these guys are both out. Brandon Bolden is a starting running back with J.J. Taylor coming right in. So I don't think I like Stevenson. Obviously, if they're both active, I would rather have Stevenson as the running back to own. But I mean, don't sleep on Bolden, especially in, you know, PPR formats where he has value, even if Stevenson does play.
And of course, Bill Belichick is not one to be readily available with a lot of information. So you might not have a lot of clarity, as Andrew's saying, until perhaps Sunday morning. So that could suppress some of this value, but also could make it very tricky out there, too, when you're adding these players and which one to add. But, you know, we shall see as more news kind of trickles in. I think you guys are both wrong. I just want to throw this out there. I think the number one running back to add is the guy who was RB12 in half PPR 2 weeks ago. And this past week is now RB17. And that's Ty Johnson of your New York Jets. Let's go, Dan Harris, a Jet that I want to be positive about. Ever since Zach Wilson got hurt, the Jets offense, I'm all in. Let's go. Ty Johnson's got 25 half PPR points the last 2 weeks. He got 2 touchdowns. He's getting work in the passing game. He's got 9 targets over the last 2 weeks. He is getting his 4 carries, so he's getting a little bit of work on the ground. But to me, like, you're looking at the volume, we're looking at him and Carter being part of this backfield, and it feels like Ty Johnson's kind of found a role as this complementary back. And I think that's something, as opposed to some of the other guys we might talk about, might be easier to define, and maybe it doesn't have the same upside as some of the other guys we're talking about who could take over a role and just be the guy potentially for a game or two. But you know what? Long-term, Ty Johnson might be a guy that could actually be useful to you the rest of the season, depending on how this Jets offense with whoever is playing quarterback next week for them might go. Dan Harris, how do you leave off Ty Johnson? And just for the record, I'm willing to push up to that 8-ish% for Ty Johnson, somewhere around there. I don't want to quite go into the double digits necessarily, but I think it could be a really good return on investment ad, because a lot of people still just will see the Jets next to a player and go, well, I don't want that near my fantasy team, but they might be wrong.
Yeah, I think for me, it's first hard enough to buy into the primary player at a position on the New York Jets. Fair. Certainly more difficult to buy into the secondary player at a position for the Jets. I think there are a couple things here. Number one, I don't know when Tevin Coleman is coming back, but whenever Tevin Coleman comes back, that's probably going to factor in. Number two, I do not know who the quarterback is necessarily for the Jets. You mentioned the 9 targets over the last 2 games. 6 of those were in the game with Mike White. 3 of those were in this most recent game. And I believe 2 of those came only with Johnson at quarterback, when, by the way, the Jets were down by 500,000 points the entire game. And by the way, as somebody who was on the over 2.5 receptions for Ty Johnson prop in that game, I watched it pretty closely, in addition to just being a Jets fan. And Ty Johnson was wide open that whole game. Mm-hmm. And Johnson's just looking down the field, wants to get it to the wide receivers, doesn't even care about anything. So for me,
but hold on a second. You've mentioned some good points there, which is Ty Johnson's open, getting open. That's a good thing. You also mentioned the Jets being from behind, probably going to be a game script that goes the rest of the season for them.
What?
These are all positive things for Ty Johnson's value.
It's true. But again, I like Michael Carter for it. And I don't know if Mike White, I still, does anybody know what Mike White's injury is other than, yeah, as a forearm?
It was a
thing.
Forearm.
A forearm. How do you feel? I think he'll be able to play again this season. That's great. He was questionable to come back that entire game, wasn't even ruled out. And the only thing I heard anybody said is, I think he'll be able to play again. And this may be Zach Wilson. But again, who is their opponent this week? Probably a really pissed off Bills team at this point. It's not something where I want to start Ty Johnson right now. So this is sort of something where I'm like, let me look long term at adding Ty Johnson. I don't know, man. It's not a situation that I really want to attack. I still love Michael Carter, and I think he's the guy. But Johnson's, you know, somebody who I'm not really going after, even
this
week.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about First Leaf. Now, I know a lot of people in the fantasy football community are big beer drinkers and IPA this and all that. Not me. Joey P is a wine guy. That's right. Maybe even a wine snob. And for someone like me who knows that the options are limitless, whether it be a fantastic Malbec, a Chianti that I absolutely love, or maybe just a nice Pinot Noir, as you can tell, I'm more of a red drinker. You want to try to find the wines that you like, and sometimes it can be a bit hit or miss. There's so many different options out there, but that's why I'm a fan of First Leaf Wine Club, because when you are a member, you get only the hits. That's because experts at First Leaf know my personal palate, and they send wines I love right to my door, and there's always something new to discover. First Leaf is a wine club that curates and ships wines that are perfect for you, and since they work with renowned winemakers all over the world, there's virtually no limit to the variety of wines you could try. Not only does First Leaf introduce you to a ton of new wines, each box gets better, and when you rate the wines you receive, First Leaf learns more about your palate, and that is the thing when you're learning about wine you want to understand. The kind of wines you don't like, the kind of wines you do, and the branches of those wines that are going to be just like the ones that you fall in love with. But here's a little fun, no secret about First Leaf. They work directly with winemakers themselves, which means that you get incredible wine 60% off retail. So First Leaf is so confident you'll love the wine they have, they'll offer you 100% satisfaction guarantee if you receive a bottle that isn't exactly what you were hoping for. First Leaf will credit your account. Join today and you'll get 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 and free shipping. Just go to tryfirstleaf.com. Again, that's tryfirstleaf.com/fantasypros. And that's 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 and free shipping. Again, the holidays are just around the corner. It's nice to be able to take some wine to all the events you're going to attend. And First Leaf is a place to do it. Again, start there. Tryfirstleaf.com/fantasypros today. And now back to the action. All right, let's take a look at who your number two is, Dan. If there's somebody that kind of separates from the pack, or is it time to just call them the glob?
I mean, it was time to call them the glob when I said the words Ramondre Stevenson, but I'm going to hold my nose and recommend adding Jordan Howard, who I just think it's a little tough to ignore what we are seeing right now out of Philadelphia. Number one, they have clearly figured out that the best way to run their offense is not to entirely ignore the running game and to let Jalen Hurts just do whatever the heck he wants to do. Hurts looks so much better now that they are essentially establishing the ground game. And again, he only had 17 pass attempts yesterday. That's probably what they want to do with it. And will it be Boston Scott or will it be Jordan Howard? We have to admit this, guys, that if you were really going to judge how the two running backs looked yesterday, Howard looked better and earned the additional touches and earned the extra work. So we've got at least one more game without Miles Sanders. And by the way, people always say you're put on short-term IR or whatever. You're out for 3 games. You're out for a minimum of 3 weeks. There's no guarantee that Miles Sanders just pops back the second he's eligible to go. So when they get down to the goal line, they're certainly not going to risk Jalen Hurts throwing the ball and potentially having a pick. They're going to give it to Jordan Howard. So he's my number two. And I mean, we're talking Ramondre Stevenson and Jordan Howard right now. It's not really crazy exciting, but he is a guy who I think if you're desperate, and I am desperate for a running back in a league, I'm probably going to try to add him. So, you know, that's where we're at.
Andrew, who are you desperate for at number two, a running back this week?
Oh, I want some Deonte Foreman. I'm ready to embrace this Titans backfield because like Dan said, I like what Dan said about how Jordan Howard earned more touches, you know, because of the way that he started last week. And then he comes out and leads the team in carries after Boston Scott led the team in carries a week ago. Now, everybody watching that game with eyes could clearly see that Peterson has no juice left. He's just running into the backs of his guys. Yes, he scored the touchdown. And if you started him, like, good job. Like, great. Like, that worked out in your favor. But Deontay Foreman, you know, he rushed for more yards, 29 yards on 5 carries. You know, when he was in the game, he immediately added more boost to the running attack. He's significantly big. Like, he looks big. Like, he looks the part of a Titans running back. Now, he's not obviously like Derrick Henry, but I just thought that he looked the part of who they're trying to be, what their identity is at the running back position, with Peterson kind of being like, okay, like, he's there and like they can trust him. But I thought Foreman looked really good. And I think that when the Titans go back and they rewatch this game, they're like, yeah, we probably should like get the ball in the more to Deontay Foreman, like, and not feature Adrian Peterson nearly as much. I mean, the snaps were all super low across the board, and Jerry McNichols ended up playing the most snaps in that game because he was using more on third down so that they could work in pass pro. But, you know, Foreman, obviously the matchup is brutal against the Saints this week. But after that, you get Texans, you get Jaguars. And I think Foreman could be the guy. So I'm kind of looking more in the long term about, I think Foreman takes over this backfield potentially, just based on what I saw them playing with. So yeah, I like Foreman as a kind of a long-term stash.
I have so many fantasy scars from Foreman from his Texans days of him as a sleeper and going, this is I because you saw the glimpses. That was always the frustrating thing with Foreman. You'd see the glimpses, you would see moments, you would see preseason, and you go, okay, this could be that guy to stash. He could be this sleeper kind of guy. And then just, and he would get opportunities, and then either injury or bad play or all these myriad of different issues would end up coming around. You're probably not wrong, but once again, that it becomes a very messy situation there potentially for the Tennessee Titans. It isn't good and going to help you this week, as you're pointing out, with New Orleans. So for me, number two is going to be Ramondre Stevenson. That's where I'm going for my number two this week. But look, this is like we're all saying here, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. These are all 5% kind of guys now that we're talking about. Number three for me is Jordan Howard. As Dan is saying, ignoring it would be stupid at this point. They're going to play Denver next week. You're probably going to use multiple running backs in that game anyway with the climate there. Obviously, always in the altitude is always something different where it affects some guys differently. Jordan Howard's a veteran guy. He's been there, played there before. Number four for me personally is Le'Veon Bell. Getting some extra work. You know, I watched that game and seeing Le'Veon Bell starting to look, I don't know, a little bit fresher than he did when he first came in with Baltimore. And it seems like they are kind of saying, okay, well, you take a quarter of the work and you take a quarter of the work, and it's all ugly and gross, but you still see the same patient Le'Veon Bell and a much different physical version of Le'Veon Bell too. He was almost unrecognizable from his Pittsburgh days. So he has slimmed down considerably, I guess, trying to stay a little lighter there, but I'm looking for offense. Baltimore's got offense. And the other guy I want to throw out here too is Eno Benjamin. We got some word about, we're still waiting, I think, for the Chase Edmonds situation to lend itself. And I know James Conner scored 3 touchdowns and was a rock star. However, Eno Benjamin had an angry run that if you weren't paying attention to, you might have missed. And he's another guy too that has shown you some moments here and there. If indeed Chase Edmonds is going to miss any significant time with this ankle issue, I would skyrocket Eno Benjamin up to the top of the list. Boys, do you have any love for Eno as well? Dan, you're nodding your head. Is that true?
Well, he is going to miss multiple weeks at this point. It has come across. He is probably a short-term IR candidate anyway. So he is going to miss multiple weeks. So Benjamin's a guy who I've had trouble with as I've been thinking about it, because now that we know that Chase Edmonds is going to miss time, you'd have to think that he's got to go up there, especially because, look, James Conner's effectiveness as a runner, and particularly effectiveness as a goal line runner, has really never been in question necessarily. It's just about whether he can stand up to the workload, and you would think he can. And yesterday was the best game I've ever seen him play, and not surprisingly. But yeah, you figure they're going to need a second person coming in. Now they've got Carolina coming up, a tough run defense on Seattle, then a bye. So we might be looking at maybe 2 games, you know, max necessarily. We don't know for sure, but maybe 2 games for Eno Benjamin. One of them at the very least is against a tough run defense. So I debate Eno Benjamin, but he basically falls into that same category. Realistically, this is what I'm saying. There's no like great tier. There's no number one with a bullet. Stevenson, Jordan Howard, Eno Benjamin for me. Those are my top 3. And those are, you know, they're all, you can pick or choose for me.
Well, Dan, is there anybody else or a specific order that you have the rest of your top 5 in?
I mean, I do have Ty Johnson number 4, and then I do have Deonta Foreman number 5. The only reason I'm not quite as bullish on him as Andrew is, I agree, you watched that game and you were like, oh, okay. And I was doing the recap podcast with it, so I couldn't even tell like who was in the game, but it was like popping my eyes. So people, if you're watching on youtube.com/fantasybros and you see me last night with Laquan Jones and me just sort of like looking over and looking very intrigued, that was when Deonta Foreman was running. But the big thing I think about is really 2 things. Number 1, I don't feel that confident that he is going to separate himself from the pack that we have got going on. And number two, it was Adrian Peterson's first game back, and he's 117 years old. Like, he might need a little time to get going, and he might work his way back into sort of being in that form. But he is my number five for that. Other than that, it would be Le'Veon Bell, who I do think, I admit, if I'm going to admit, surprisingly looked a little better than I expected yesterday. Yeah. But again, I do think it's Devontae Freeman and probably Latavius Murray when he gets back. So other than that, no, it's Bolden, you know, maybe Carlos Hyde if James Robinson needs to miss another game. But realistically, I think it's Stevenson, Howard, Benjamin for me, and then a little bit of a drop.
I feel like Bell looked better than Murray this year so far from what I've seen. But I still think Freeman looks better than both of them, but none of them look great. Is that fair? Is that like the best assessment I could possibly give anybody of the Ravens backfield, Andrew?
I mean, Freeman's like been pretty good. I mean, he's up there in yards,
but he doesn't look great doing it. He's fine.
He's at 5.7 yards per carry. He's a top 10 rusher in PFF grade. Like, he's being really efficient.
But
like, he's getting the job done.
But I gotta say, part of that is also because you're chasing Lamar Jackson for 100 yards a game. That is something that it's easy for the old man to look good when they're chasing Lamar Jackson around and that defense is absolutely winded and the linebackers are standing there with their hands on their hips trying to, you know, catch their breath because Lamar just ran for 20 yards and it's very easy to turn around and hand it off to old man whoever in the backfield and all of a sudden they can rip off a 5-yard run. But that is the situation we're in, so I'm not going to hate on it, but it is kind of deceiving, I guess, in a way to have that conversation.
Well, I mean, but when you look at his yards per carry versus the other Ravens running backs, he is significantly better than those others. So that's kind of, I'm not comparing it to the masses. I think, yes, it's a little bit noisy if you compare, oh, well, Devontae Freeman's as good as Nick Chubb. Like, no, like that's not what I'm trying to say. But compared to the other Ravens running backs who also benefit from the same situation as Freeman, you know, he's been the clear front runner in terms of being the most efficient guy that they also do use in the red zone. He's picking up first downs and he's also the one used most in the passing game. And the Ravens are throwing a lot more. So I think Freeman's in a good spot this week against Miami.
By the way, you do know now that we can just clip the Devonta Freeman's as good as Nick Chubb thing right for you and just paste that everywhere. So you got to watch the way you phrased the joke.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that. But no one's better than Nick Chubb. I think we already all know that. Maybe Jonathan Taylor. Maybe that's the guy in the conversation right now. All right, Andrew, give us the rundown of the rest of your running backs too and how you rank them after the top two.
Yeah, so we'll go with, so I still like Stevenson. So even over Bolden, I know I mentioned him. So I would go Stevenson, Bolden, Johnson, Foreman, and then probably Eno Benjamin would be my fifth one because we see this all the time. You know, it's Damian Williams and then it's Khalil Herbert. Oh, you know, a week after. Mm-hmm. And we could be talking about Eno Benjamin as the hot waiver wire pickup that we are actually excited to pick up, but you can just stash him now for pretty much nothing.
Yeah, that's a good advice. And I can't say I'm surprised that we came here a week later after all of the McNichols or Peterson, how much, and should I empty the tank? And it's like $2,800 on this guy and you know, $3,700 on Peterson. Like, how much money can I possibly spend? And here we are going, you know, Dante Foreman looks pretty good. You know, he's not bad.
Hey, Matt, if you would have given me if you would have told me that Adrian Peterson was going to score a touchdown against the Rams 5 days after walking up off the streets.
Oh, I said it all day on the live stream. Go watch on the live stream. I said, Adrian Peterson is going to fall into the end zone today. Put it in the books. You'll get your 6 points. If you can find another five out of them, good for you. And you barely might have scratched that out, hopefully. All right, before we move on to the next section here of the wide receivers, I want to tell everybody about Tick Pick. NFL stadiums are packed again, which is great. The game is back. The crowds are back. The fans are all back there supporting their teams. But it's tough to get NFL tickets without the ridiculous service fees, and that's no fun for anybody. Tick Pick, the original no-fee ticket site, is teaming up with Zip, the buy now, pay later service provider, to give away 5 huge season ticket packages for the 2022 season. That's next year. You'll have a chance to win five chances to win 2022 season tickets to your favorite NFL team with a drawing every single month from now until February. Each package is valued at $3,000, and you can get involved today by heading over to tickpick.com/pros. Again, that's tickpick.com/pros to get a chance to go to the NFL game of your choice. Again, that's pretty nice there. 5 chances to win season ticket packages. That's works for me, but it can only work for you if you head over to tickpick.com/pros. Let's talk about the wide receivers. This should be more fun, I hope. It can't be worse than the running backs, right, Andrew? Who's your number one?
My number one wide receiver is Brandon Ayuk. I mean, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. I know mm-hmm. I talked about him on my waiver wire piece last week about how we saw his routes run increase to over Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel was obviously playing with an injury and banged up, and it just seems like Ayuk is starting to finally be the guy that we were drafting in the fifth and sixth round. You know, he's getting encouraging coach speak about him, which again, you got to take with a grain of salt because we never know what they're actually saying or what do they actually mean about any of the players there in Santa Clara. So maybe that's really not a reason, but I mean, I've seen it. Like, we're seeing the talent kind of finally meet expectations from what we saw last year. You know, this was a really talented player and we're still starting to see him emerge. You know, he had set season highs in receptions, targets, receiving yards, all last week, PFF receiving grade. So, you know, he's finally starting to turn the corner, and you know, he's a player that we were really excited about. I think we're just finally kind of getting what we drafted in the fifth and sixth round to an extent. So I think Brandon Ayuk makes a ton of sense. He's already had his bye week, so you don't have to worry about that. And you know, what's up with Deebo? Like, is he 100%? I know he played the majority of the game last week, but you know, how is that calf hanging up? Like, is this kind of where Deebo kind of falls off? You know, he had his 30% target share, you know, through the first 8 weeks of the season. Kittle's back. Ayuk's starting to heat up. Do they change quarterbacks? So I think that we're kind of see a decline from Deebo, and we're going to see an ascend from Ayuk in the second half of the season.
There's a lot to unpack there. And the first thing I want to unpack is the thing of, this is what you drafted him for. How many teams that drafted Brandon Ayuk still have Brandon Ayuk on their roster? I'm going to say it's a lower percentage. I'm just going to throw that out there. Again, this is not a Joe Stradamus kind of thing where I see into the future. I'm just saying I feel like it's probably a guy that's been passed around a little bit from roster to roster. Been dropped, been added to another team, dropped there, been traded for, been let go again. I love the point you're bringing up, too, about the Deebo injury. That's something for me why Brandon Ayuk is also my number one. I'm willing to go up, pushing to that 10% range for him. That's one of the few bigger spends that I'm willing to go to. Also, because next week when they play the Rams, if I'm the Rams, I want to take Deebo Samuel away, healthy or not. Let Brandon Ayuk beat me. Maybe also you could put Samuel, if you really want to, on Kittle sometimes and kind of figure things out, because Jalen Ramsey's been moving around a lot more than he used to historically in the past. So that's going to be a very different thing there in terms of matchups. So for me, that leaves Ayuk as a really intriguing piece. And if you look at what he's done these last few weeks, it's encouraging. Not just the red zone look also, but if you consider, you know, the 15 targets in the last 2 weeks, if you consider, you know, the touchdowns, if you consider where we're headed here with him and the good second half he had last year, yeah, I think Ayuk is a guy where so many people are so frustrated and they're going to kick themselves for dropping him, but who could blame them? Because when it gets that bad, you can't even start a player, let alone roster them when they've been that bad for that long. But hopefully this is a turnaround. Dan Harris, who is your number one wide receiver on the waiver wire in week 10?
We are 3 for 3 here with Ayuk. And it is. And again, Andrew put it far more eloquently than I ever could.
Well, what else is new?
That's not a surprise. but the bottom line is, over the last 2 weeks, he has basically essentially met his production in every category from the first 5 weeks. And you know, the 49ers were never going to want to go through the entire season with him in the stupid doghouse for whatever reason. Like, you just can't do it that way. I do have minor concerns about, can he be a reliable producer so long as A, Deebo stays healthy, and B, George Kittle is back? Like, it's very difficult to see all three of them producing in this offense every single week, especially with the running game working okay. But, you know, we do have the concerns about Deebo's health. Although, again, he played every, you know, he was out there every snap. And if I knew that, I probably would have ranked him higher. Turns out it was probably better that I didn't. I assumed he'd be a little limited, but it is Ayuk. He looks great. The touchdown yesterday, he just got. Like, he fought for that ball. That was his. That's what you want to see, mm-hmm. the aggressiveness there. So he is my number one wide receiver without question for me.
He was such a rock star in the second half last year, too. I think that's why it's been so upsetting. And then somebody else, I remember, tweeted me this weekend and said, why do you have Deebo Samuel ranked so much lower than everybody else the rest of the season? I said, well, have you realized how much time he's missed over the years? It's not what he's done so far. It's just, if I'm going to do a rest of season ranking, injury history has to be a part of it. Same as Mike Williams. I think you always have to take that with a bit of a grain of salt. Is how good are they right now playing? And what have we learned in the past from watching them not play on the field necessarily? Who is your number two then, Dan Harris, if we're all on the same board for Ayuk?
I hate having to talk about him every single week, but it's still Rashad Bateman, who's rostered in just 30% of leagues. He's got 20 targets in his 3 games. Andrew mentioned it earlier, how Lamar Jackson is throwing more. 33 pass attempts per game. I mean, yeah, there's room for Hollywood Brown, who is awesome, by the way, and completely underrated, There is room for Mark Andrews, and there is room for Rashad Bateman. If I hear but Sammy Watkins like one more time when I talk to somebody about it,
send them.
Everybody
to my house.
Says
Slap
that. I'm not kidding. They're like, well, what happens when Sammy Watkins gets back? I'm like, I don't care when Sammy Watkins gets back. Whenever it is, Rashad Bateman, man. And I, look, I'll take the miss on this in the preseason, as I've said many times. Like, you're telling me a guy's going to miss, like, the entire camp? He's going to miss a month of the regular season, and then he's going to walk into the Ravens offense and just be a guy who's going to be a quasi-reliable producer? I don't think the ceiling is enormous at this point, because I just, you know, the touchdown equity is probably not going to be there or anything like that. But I think he's a guy who you can mostly start most weeks is like a borderline wide receiver three, even at this point, and feel pretty comfortable with it. So I say it every week. It sounds dumb, but he is my number two still going forward. He has fallen behind Ayuk, though, at least.
You're better off waiting for George R.R. Martin to finish a Game of Thrones book than for Sammy Watkins to come back and contribute to fantasy football. I'm pretty sure that's the ratio there. And I have nothing to add, too, because Rashad Bateman's a guy I've been talking about, I feel like, for, I don't know, 6-7 weeks now.
Yep.
And this is it. We were telling you to add him back in when he was still on IR and saying, well, add him for a buck. He's coming back soon. Add him for $2 this week, $3. Now, I don't know what the price is, but if he's still floating out there, and it looks like in leagues he still is in most leagues, go pick him up. Andrew Erickson, who is your number two this week?
3 for 3 again. I also have Rashad Bateman in there as well. We've seen his, not just his targets have been solid over the last couple of games that he's played. His routes run per dropback have increased every single week, you know, up to 83% in week 9. So, you know, he's a full-time player, like running routes with Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews. And yeah, like Sammy Watkins, like, who cares? Like, Sammy Watkins will take away from Duvernay or James Prochet or one of these other guys. Like, the Ravens are one of the teams that I can feel a little confidence that they will do some rational coaching. And they'll realize, okay, we drafted this guy in the first round. Like, we signed Sammy Watkins off the street as like a free agent. Like, why are we going to play him over Bateman, who's playing well? And so it would make no sense, especially with Lamar starting to hum a little bit with this passing game. It's Bateman's been playing. So I think it makes no sense at all to like be concerned about Watkins.
That Devin Duvernay touchdown just died a little inside. I was just like, why is that happening? Why did we have this?
It's a nice catch, though.
It was
nice
a great catch. And then you look up and was like, who is that? No, I was like, Devin Duvernay. That doesn't help anybody.
Come on.
Oh, it's the worst. But, you know, the one thing, too, watching that game, man, what an incredible quick release Lamar Jackson has. I mean, that ball comes out of his hand like a rocket ship. It's unbelievable. And it literally looks like he's just flicking his wrist. It's incredible to watch. And for years now, I've been fighting this battle about Lamar. People saying, well, he's just a running back guy. I'm like, have you watched this guy throw the football? Did you watch the tape in college? This guy was a really good passer in college. Like, he could really get it done. You just got to surround him with some better talent. And now, like Hollywood Brown, as you said, Dan has stepped it up. Andrews has always been consistent. You're adding in Bateman. You're adding in, and maybe, just maybe, adding in some of these veteran running backs too, who can help in pass protection, which is something the Baltimore Ravens offensive line has struggled with in the past when it came to Lamar Jackson. Maybe, just maybe, this is the perfect storm of all of those things. All right, so we're so far 2 for 2 on the first two. Dan Harris, let's see who the third one is and see how long we can stay on the same track for.
All right, maybe we'll diverge here then. I'm going to go to the New York Jets, and I'm going to go to Elijah Moore.
I like this.
Look, I don't want to roster Jets players, but we can't ignore the fact that the guy now has 20 targets over his last three games. And again, I said it on another podcast I was on earlier today. You know, I'm sure most people know anyway, but obviously I followed the Jets draft pretty closely, being a Jets fan, and the reaction when Moore fell to them. They were able to get him, obviously. They were just ecstatic. They have such huge plans for the guy, and he is slowly becoming a bigger part of the offense. I do want to see what things look like when Corey Davis returns, which could obviously factor in. But Moore has a ton of talent. He's getting more involved. Spoiler alert, the Jets are probably going to be in a lot of negative game scripts where they're going to need to throw the ball a lot. So I expect Moore to kind of have the at least potential to work himself into being sort of a wide receiver three. I don't think he's there yet or anything like that. But just given how involved he is of late, I'm pretty optimistic on what we might see from him going forward. So he slots in as my number three wide receiver.
He's my number four, and I'm right there with you. It keeps going back and forth, my 3 and 4. And, you know, Dan, you saw glimpses of it 2 weeks ago, and then you saw it on full display on Thursday Night Football.
Yep.
And my only hesitation is it's not with Zach Wilson, right? It's with Johnson. It's with White.
Right.
And you mentioned Corey Davis's injury, too. You've got Crowder around there. Like, that's the only thing. I'm not sure if we're in a situation where it's just been stripped down and that's what's available, so they're using it? Or is Elijah Moore hitting his stride like a normal rookie would sometime in the middle of the season where he's starting to figure it out? I think it's the latter. I want to bait on that talent. But Dan, at the same time, there's a little bit of hesitancy, not because it's the Jets, but more just because when Zach Wilson's back, is this something that really could carry over, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, and I think, again, it's different when you're with the Ravens, as Andrew mentioned, and you sort of have the, you can rely on sort of rational coaching going forward. But it's really hard for me to think that Zach Wilson and the coaching staff is watching Mike White's success and the way everyone's doing it. They're being like, all right, Zach, you're back. Don't worry about Elijah Moore. Don't worry about targeting Michael Carter out of the backfield. Guys, we're good. Let's go back to how things were going before. I just think that they understand that this is how the Jets have to manufacture offense, by getting the ball into their playmakers' hands. And it just strikes me as, again, Tags and I always used to say it when we'd have something big like this, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. And I think that's kind of what we have right now with Moore. So I do fall on the side of, when Zach Wilson comes back, maybe this week, maybe the week after, that you're still going to see a lot of what you've seen over the last couple of games.
And Moore was actually a player that Tags was high on going into this year too. So maybe this is the time, and certainly he's floating around there. My number three was actually Tim Patrick, because you had thought Tim Patrick would have just kind of disappeared when Jerry Jeudy came back, and that's not been the case. He's still kind of hovering around. I think Moore is the more exciting one. I think if you're looking for upside, you go with Moore instead over him. But Patrick, I think, is still somebody that should be rostered, because I think there's always that opportunity for him to be productive in a full point PPR day. So who is your number three here, Andrew Erickson, for wide receiver?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Tim Patrick, because I actually saw him at the grocery store. He was shopping in the produce section, because that's all he does is produce. Tim Patrick, that's all that he does.
Dan and I are sitting here going, when was Andrew Erickson traveling to Dallas? Like,
you met him.
He was at the Piggly Wiggly in Dallas, hanging out
I mean, I would love to meet Tim Patrick. I love Tim Patrick. I love Tim Patrick. Just like, he's like the anti-Russell Gage for me. I love Tim Patrick. So I actually have these guys back to back. So I have Moore 3 and Tim Patrick 4. And I agree with all the what Dan had said about Moore. I think the upside is there for him the long term. I think it just goes down to your roster need. If you want to start a receiver in week 10, you want to pick up Tim Patrick. Elijah Moore is playing the Bills. Like, I don't want to play him in that matchup. Corey Davis keeps coming back. We don't know who the quarterback is. So yes, I think the talent is clearly there with Moore, and I know that he's running more routes. He only ran fewer routes than Jameson Crowder on Thursday night, so that was good. Like, he met a certain threshold that we're looking for the wide receiver. But Tim Patrick is a full-time starter. Like, he's running around on 90% of the Denver Broncos dropbacks, like more than Jerry Jeudy. Like, he's out there more than Jeudy is, and he's been dominant. Like, 2.8 yards per route run over the last 2 weeks. When Jeudy has come back into the lineup, you know, Courtland Sutton is like, dude, he's on the milk carton. You know, the milk carton that Tim Patrick is buying at the grocery store with the produce.
What? As mad as I was before, you just kind of made it even better that you kind of brought it back, because I like a running gag. I am a sucker for running.
I've never seen anybody lean into a grocery store joke like Erickson is doing right now.
It's all in good fun. But I do think that it really goes down to need. I think Patrick, you can start him against the Eagles. We saw the Eagles give up a lot of points to receivers, especially guys. Whoever Slay isn't covering can get open and do damage, especially in the slot too as well. So I think Judy's in a good spot. I think Patrick is in a good spot because, yeah, he doesn't always see like a massive target share, but he either scores a touchdown or catches a long pass. Like, and that's just kind of what he does every single week. So I think that, so Moore is three because I do like want to target the most upside that I can on my roster as like a stash. But if I need to plug and play somebody, I think I prefer Patrick.
All right, so you and I are basically exact same in wide receiver. My fifth guy is Donovan Peoples-Jones. Who's your fifth?
My fifth guy is Van Jefferson. I like Van Jefferson. He is used like a number three wide receiver that no other number three is used. Now, he's always on the field alongside Cooper Kupp and alongside Robert Woods. Now, obviously, it's harder for him to get targets because of those guys on the field, but he's also attached to Matthew Stafford. And I know that he's going to run a ton of routes. So I think Van Jefferson offers a lot of upside playing in one of the most explosive offenses in the NFL. So he's their deep threat. There is no DeSean Jackson. So he's the one that is taking the top off the ball. And I mean, Peoples-Jones, I guess, is in that kind of role with the Browns, except the Browns run the football more and the Rams throw more. So that's kind of where in terms of why I would rank Jefferson over Peoples-Jones, that would be my reason.
Yeah, and that's fair. And I have Jefferson right after him. So we're, again, kind of splitting hairs on these guys. But with Odell gone, once again, we see happy Browns offense. It's amazing. He got hurt last year. The Browns were on an incredible offensive run. Nick Chubb looked like a superstar, and Baker Mayfield's happy. Everyone's happy. And same thing happened again this year. All right, we're already off to that. So it should be a fascinating fascinating stretch run here for the Cleveland Browns, going off a huge win against Cincinnati Bengals. Dan, give us the rest of your top five wide receivers, too, and any other guy that you think is worth picking up this week.
You guys are on the ball today. I love it. Doing a good job over here, at least Andrew is. Ayuk is number one, as I said. Rashad Bateman, number two. Elijah Moore, number three. I do have Van Jefferson fourth. I really, you know, without DeSean Jackson, Andrew kind of made the points. He is a guy who, you know, 20 targets over his last three games. And then Donovan Peoples-Jones, my number five. So I will say, though, that I have Patrick seventh. He's behind Michael Gallup for me, which we just perpetually wait for Michael Gallup at this point. Maybe, by the way, it's a good thing that the Cowboys actually struggled, which I probably attribute more to the fact that Dak hadn't played in 3 weeks and things were just a little off and you're bound to have these games. But maybe it's good to sort of quiet the Joe, why fix it if it ain't broke, right? Like maybe now it's sort of when Gallup inevitably does come back, which I assume is 21-day windows probably got to end before next week at some point. So hopefully soon he would be a guy. Patrick for me, guys. And I love Tim Patrick. I really do. But, you know, in a low volume pass offense, I mean, you see what they want to do. They've got injuries on the offensive line now. So who knows? But they want to run the ball. They don't want Teddy B throwing so much. You've got Judy. You've got Sutton. You've got Fant coming back. It's just the volume there for Patrick is what pushes him down to seven for me, as much as I love the guy. So Gallup is really the only other guy that I'm considering in that range. Other than that, it's Tim Patrick at seven.
Andrew, anybody else at wide receiver outside of Jefferson, Peoples-Jones, the guys we've talked about that you feel is also maybe worth a dart throw somewhere?
I think the obvious one, or maybe one that's kind of flying under the radar, is Tyler Johnson on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Antonio Brown is still in a walking boot. He's Tom Brady is his quarterback, and he saw six targets the last time he played. He's operating in three receiver sets, and Brady's his quarterback. Like, I don't know if I need a bigger selling point than just having the GOAT throwing him the ball. I think that, again, we talked about Patrick as like a plug and play. Like, that's what Tyler Johnson is a plug and play guy, because he's going to have an efficient passer and he's on the field. So I think Johnson makes a lot of sense, especially because Antonio Brown is still not, it doesn't look like he's right. And no one's going to bid on Tyler Johnson because they had their bye week. So he doesn't have any numbers that people are attaching them. So he's free that you can get off the waiver wire.
All right, let's talk about quarterbacks. Andrew, who's the streaming quarterback you got your eye on for week 10?
For me, it's Ben Roethlisberger. So I'm just praying that he gets through Monday Night Football and is still actually available. His arm doesn't fall off, so we can actually use him potentially in week 10. It's just because he's playing the Lions. Like, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. This is a pretty gross week, at least when I was looking at it for streaming quarterbacks. I couldn't find a lot of guys. I was like, oh, like, this is the perfect spot. Like, I looked at Trevor Lawrence. I was like, yeah, that's kind of gross. Like, it's a good matchup. But I'm like, no, like, that's gross. So Big Ben, like, yeah, he can probably get you grind your way to 15 fantasy points. So I'll go with Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I'm going to grind my way with Teddy Bridgewater over to Philadelphia Eagles. Why not? I think you can throw the ball in the Eagles. Just as you said, stay away from Darius Slay. And I think your day's probably going in the right direction. But Teddy B with a full complement of weapons. And I got to say, you know, the other thing probably we haven't touched on today, but I'm sure, Dan, you did last night, was Javonte Williams looking awesome in that game against Dallas. And yes, Melvin Gordon's still there. Yes, Melvin Gordon's still scoring a touchdown. But it's pretty clear that even if it's not this year, that next year, Javonte Williams is going to be the guy that we thought he would be. And who knows, maybe we'll see more of these kind of big games too, because he is really starting to come on there. And I think this offense in general right now is starting to click a little bit and starting to look much better with all the healthy pieces working at the same time. Who's your streaming quarterback this week in week 10, Dan?
If you'd like to call this a cop-out, I am more than willing to take it. But I don't think, like, my number one quarterback pickup this week is Trey Lance, who I don't expect to start next week. But that's fair. I do think that because I think this loss that just happened and probably makes it more likely that we see Lance sooner rather than later. And you look at the teams that are on bye next week. Yeah, you might be relying on Joe Burrow, but you weren't relying on Justin Fields, right, to go there. You're probably not relying on Daniel Jones. You're certainly not relying on Tyrod Taylor. So it's not like you are missing out on being like, darn, my quarterback's on a bye. I need to stream somebody. If I absolutely had to, probably Roethlisberger, but I would feel disgusting and I would throw up a little bit. So I'm just going to go with Trey Lance and hopefully have a better quarterback on my roster.
It wasn't exactly a ringing endorsement from Shanahan on Jimmy Garoppolo after that game.
Nor should it be, man.
Nor should it be.
Come on.
But boy, the choosing carefully of the words for Shanahan was very clear. On the tight end side, for me, it's Tyler Conklin, excuse me, against the Los Angeles Chargers. Minnesota's a Jekyll and Hyde offense, but Conklin's been pretty decent in the last few weeks. So I just want to get my points and get out if I'm looking to stream a tight end, if I'm worrying about this. And of course, it goes without being said, if Logan Thomas got dropped and you want to add him, sure, absolutely add him. Andrew, how about for you? Who is the streaming tight end for you this week?
It's Dan Arnold. Just keep playing him, man. He just gets it done. He's running routes like a wide receiver. He's got 17 targets, 120 receiving yards over his last two games, and the Colts fifth in fantasy points per game allowed to tight ends. So yeah, Dan Arnold, just keep playing him. Don't watch the games.
Just don't watch it. No, you don't know. Oh, gross. Terrible. That game was so just maddening to watch. Jacksonville, Buffalo. Dan Harris, how about for you? Who's your streaming tight end of the week?
Yeah, you guys nailed it. I mean, I'm picking up Logan Thomas. He's rostered in 50.4% of leagues, so half leagues he's out there. He's my obvious number one. Conklin and Dan Arnold, they're the only other two worth picking up, I think. And they're both viable sort of streaming options. We do have a lot more guys. The one thing I'll say is, as bad as tight end this year, it's like I almost feel a little better about those guys who are like 12 to 15 in my rankings, where I'm like, I can get away with this guy a little bit here. I can live with it. And both those guys fall into there. So either one of those guys is fine. I slightly prefer Conklin, but they're both pretty much the same.
All right, let's talk about our top five ads of the week. I'll go first. Brandon Ayuk, number one for me, followed by Rashad Bateman, Logan Thomas at three, Elijah Moore at four, Tim Patrick at five. You can flip-flop those however you like. That's my top five. Dan Harris, do you have a top five for all the ads for week 10?
Of course I do, Joey. I'm going to go with Brandon Ayuk, number one, Rashad Bateman, number two, Elijah Moore, number three, then Ramondre Stevenson, four, and Jordan Howard, number five. And again, we are like five percenters across the board here and less going forward.
I would push up to 10 for Ayuk if you have. Like, if you want to be aggressive for Ayuk, I'm willing to do that. And I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't know if the move to Trey Lance is good or bad for him yet. From what was on the preseason, theoretically, it should be good because that was the guy he was always looking for. And that ball was coming in a lot hotter. And you would see him drop the ball sometimes because that ball comes in a little bit hotter from Trey Lance than it does with Jimmy Garoppolo. But at the same time, it's something to contemplate a little bit and realize that as good as it is right now and trending in the right direction, it could reverse itself at any given time.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, if you just look at all the rookie quarterbacks that have played this year, which receivers are we starting from those teams?
Right.
It's... Mm-hmm. None. I think that they're all been nuked of value. Like, I don't think they have any value left. So yeah, that is a good point that you bring up, Joe. My five are Ayuk, Rashad Bateman, Elijah Moore, Tim Patrick, and then Logan Thomas.
Okay. Streaming defense of the week. This one's easy. It's the Tennessee Titans. They had 19 sacks last year. They have 23 already. They're playing like a house on fire the last couple weeks and against some pretty decent offensive lines at times too. It's been very impressive what they've been doing. They've turned up the pressure. I know, you know, trying to bring in Dupree, trying to make a couple moves to remake this defense that was so bad. And last, I would say, you know, in September of this year, it looked like the same old defense again. But they've dialed it up a notch here towards the end of October, now into November. And they got a good matchup against New Orleans. And I will say, because of the backup quarterbacks, I think there's opportunity not only for sacks here in this one, but also for turnovers. So to me, this is a very good matchup against New Orleans for Tennessee. That's my streaming defense. Dan Harris, do you have a streaming defense in mind this week?
It has to be Tennessee. I mean, I don't fully understand exactly how they're doing this or what exactly has changed with what they are, but they've got double digit, you know, fantasy
well, part of its coverage. They're some of the sacks last night were coverage sacks, but at the same time, some of them were not. Like, I think we got to give them a little bit of credit, and Byard's played very well. So that's helping, you know, some this guys in the secondary playing very well. And that's allowing the guys up front to get a little bit more push and a little extra time to get to the quarterback. But
yeah,
look, it's Tennessee right now.
Yeah. They've got multiple sacks in four of their last five games. They've got double-digit fantasy performances in four of their last five games. It's a very, very obvious pickup right now for Tennessee. And it might just be, especially with their upcoming schedule after this, a defense that you could just leave in your lineup and not have to worry about streaming. So yeah, they're the obvious top pickup for me.
I agree. How about for you, Andrew? Who's the defense you got your eye on this week?
So, I think the Titans makes the most sense of the points you guys all made. I love them all. I would say the Raiders, again, if they're out there still, they're hanging out. I mean, look, they're playing the Chiefs, and I get that that's usually a matchup that people shy away from, but, I mean, the Chiefs are not right. You know, Mahomes leads the NFL in turnover-worthy plays since week six. They've actually been the worst team in terms of giving points up to opposing DSTs, has been Kansas City, and the Raiders have the league's number one pass rush grade. Like, the Raiders get after opposing quarterbacks, so the Raiders could get dropped because people just kind of see, oh, the Chiefs, like, oh, I got to drop them. It's like, no, like, they're a legitimate option this week.
All right, kicker for me, it's Minnesota's Greg Joseph. I could just see Minnesota Vikings settling for more threes than sevens sometimes. just in this offense, the way it goes up and down against the Chargers on the road next week. That's the only analysis I'm going to give you because it's a kicker. Dan Harris, kicker, this is your world. Go ahead.
I'd like to give you my 7-part analysis on kickers. No, I'm going for Randy Bullock. Again, against the Saints right now, I think the Saints are probably pretty embarrassed coming off that loss. So I expect a little bit more of a spirited defensive performance. I think it's a game where it will be probably closer than people expect. And I could see a lot of field goals. And then Ryan Succop, who I'm sure was dropped in your league because he was on bye against Washington. Always sort of a guy who, you know, doesn't really pop off or anything like that, but somebody who should give you fairly reliable points. But I would go for Bullock first.
More extra points than field goals for Succop. That's
the fair point. Fair point.
Andrew Erickson, who's your kicker to stream this week?
I'm going to go with Mike Badgley of the Indianapolis Colts. Got at least 7 points over the last 4 weeks. So he's been getting it done, and he's got the Jaguars at home in the dome. So can't do better than that.
I don't know. You mean the amazing, ridiculously good Jacksonville Jaguar defense?
Best team ever.
You mean the one that allowed 2 field goals to Tyler Bass? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking for.
Oh, man, it's crazy. What bizarre world do we live in yesterday? It's so bizarre. All right, let's play a little keeper drop to close things out here today. We'll start with David Johnson, 50% roster. Do you want to keep him or drop him, Andrew Erickson?
Drop.
All right, I am also drop Dan Harris, keeper drop DJ.
Drop him immediately.
Mecole Hardman, 50% roster. Dan Harris, keeper drop Mecole Hardman.
Drop him like he drops passes all day long. No, I have no interest right now. I mean, we're basically talking about how much we hate the regular Chiefs. I'm not holding on to Hardman at this point. Drop him.
Yeah, exactly. The extra Chiefs. I don't care how fast a guy is. Nobody's catching the football or do 13 points for the Chiefs. These are the ugliest Chief games I've ever seen. There's so much talent. What is going on? Keeper drop, Mecole Hardman, Andrew.
Drop.
Okay. Latavius Murray, keeper drop, Andrew.
I'm done. I don't need. I've seen enough for this running back crew to know that I don't think Latavius Murray is going to go back to his quote unquote starting role. It seems like he might just take over the Tyson Williams role, which is nothing. And so Tyson Williams is going to be back to being inactive, and Latavius Murray will sit and work with Le'Veon Bell and Freeman. So I think there are better stashes you can have on your bench than Latavius Murray. Like all the guys we talked about today at running back, I think I'd rather have over Murray.
That's fair. And you know what? I support that. I would drop him for the guys we're talking about. And some of those wide receivers I'd drop him for, too. Dan Harris, how about you? Latavius Murray, you hanging on to the pass or are you going to move on?
Funny, I will say when you first said his name, I think my initial instinct was to say, probably hold, like just to see what happens when he comes back. But I think Erickson convinced me. I'm a drop now. Get rid of him.
Oh, look at that. So now it goes wrong, Andrew. He's going to blame you. I just want
that's true. Very true.
Randall Cobb, 41% roster. Dan Harris, what do you want to do? You want to keep Randall Cobb?
No, I never wanted to roster Randall Cobb at all. I'm glad he scored 2 touchdowns that one game, but I'm dropping him if I roster him.
Well, I think he led the team in targets yesterday too, right?
I'm still dropping him, okay? Get off my team.
Andrew Erickson, keep or drop Randall Cobb. What do you want to
do? Yeah, I'm dropping him.
All right, there you have it. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel over at Fantasy Pros, and don't forget to click that notifications button when you do. And you can win some free stuff also at fantasypros.com/contest. When you subscribe to that YouTube channel, go check it out. The Chris Godwin autographed jerseys up for grabs, and it could be yours just for one little click of the mouse. That's all you got to do. And don't forget about the waiver wire assistant to help you, in addition to the podcast, for all the ads that you have in Week 10 in the NFL. You can only find it at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including TickPick. Head over to TickPick.com/pros today. Again, that's the no-fee ticket site, and they're teaming up with Zip on the Buy Now, Pay Later service provider, and they're giving away 5 huge season ticket packages for 2022. So go to TickPick.com/pros to get involved with TickPick. Also, don't forget about my wine. That's right, especially if you're coming over my house. Try FirstLeaf.com/fantasypros. That's 6 bottles of wine, $29.95, and free shipping at tryfirstleaf.com/fantasypros. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Dan Harris and Andrew Erickson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's #1 podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.